this morning, if you would. We will get to the book of Mark. I want to remind you of the Easter weekend, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. What a wonderful weekend, celebrating the resurrection. And through this place on Friday and then Sunday, our Friday service was full with every chair that we had. Our first service Sunday was, probably 500 or so people in here. The second service, we had every chair down here and half the chairs from upstairs jammed in here, and we were full. And we talked a lot about the light that shone in the darkness, and that the darkness could not overcome it, and that the kingdom of God advances. And the invitation at the end of Sunday was for each of us to participate in that ongoing declaration of the light of Christ in us and through us. We focused a lot on John chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Other versions say, has not mastered it, has not extinguished it, has not pushed it back. But I went back to verse 4 because in the beginning of the letter of the Gospel of John, it says, "Through him," or through Jesus, "all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made." Verse 4, "In him was life." That life word is the word that has everything to do with the source of life. In Jesus was the source of life, the force of life, and that life was the light of men. In Jesus was the fullness of God, and that full life force of God was to be the light of men declared in Jesus Christ, and that light would shine in the darkness. And today that light still shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. And this week I was reading some of the post-resurrection accounts, because it's not just the information of the resurrection. It's not just the knowledge that the facts exist, that Jesus was a man who came declaring himself as God, that he died, that he rose again. It's not just the information. What we need is the revelation or the illumination of that life light of Christ in our lives. When I was reading through some of the accounts, there's a number of different encounters with Jesus. One of the first recorded towards the end of the book of Luke, and I said we were going to be in Mark, and we yet will be in Mark. But at the end of the book of Luke, you find two men that they've left Jerusalem, and they're on their way to Emmaus, and they're talking about everything that has been happening and that has happened. And as they discuss it with one another, and you can imagine them wrestling with the weight of the experience they've just gone through, having been in Jerusalem with hearts of expectation, celebration of Jesus into the Passover to his crucifixion, to his death, to his burial. These guys are walking, and it says, as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he says, "What is it that you're discussing?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. And Cleopas asks Jesus, says, Are you just a visitor to Jerusalem or something, that you don't know the things that have been happening there in these days?" And Jesus says, "What things do you talk about?" He says, "About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people." Listen to the information that these guys have. is a prophet. And word, indeed, powerful, great before God and all the people. But then the chief priests, the rulers, handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We had hope based on what we saw, based on what we had heard. And now it's the third day since all this took place. So even in that, their reference to the third day is this sense of expectation. Because you know what? Well, there was rumor that on that third day that he would be restored. The women amaze us. They went and they went to the tomb, but they didn't find his body. And they came and told us they'd seen angels and that said he was alive. And some of the companions went and found it the same way. But him, they didn't see him. And he said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow of heart you are to believe all that the prophets had spoken." Christ would have to suffer and then enter his glory. And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what had been said in the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus again goes through the scriptures and there's this transfer of information. And it's, you know, Jesus himself sharing it. And they urged Jesus to stay with them. And he went in to stay with them. Verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he disappeared from his sight. And they say this, weren't our hearts like burning within us while he talked? Wasn't something stirring? But you see, just that something stirring wasn't enough. Because just that something stirring wasn't enough for them to have the revelation. It wasn't until Jesus in their midst does something that to them just cuts through the darkness, the despair, the doubt, the dismay, everything. And Jesus takes this action and he breaks the bread. And whether these guys were there on the night that he broke bread and he said, "This is my body." He took the cup and said, "This is my blood." But they had this very, very distinct revelation in that moment. Their minds, their hearts, their spirit was illuminated. It came alive and they run back to Jerusalem. And they tell the others, "It is true. The Lord has risen and he's appeared to Simon." They go and they say that and they tell how he's showed himself to them. But then we go on to another situation. The disciples were in the upper room, the very next verses. And they were still talking about what had just happened and these guys coming in. And Jesus himself stood amongst them and he says to them, "Peace." And they were startled and they were frightened. They're already terrified, hiding in this upper room, according to John. And in John's account, in their, you know, in their transition, they suddenly get amazed and excited and they're filled with joy. And again, Jesus says to them, "Peace." It's not about the despair that needs peace. It's not about, you know, the joy that makes it all right. No, it needed to be centered on his presence in their midst. What they needed was the revelation of Christ in the midst of them. You see, I look at that disciples thing because now flip back to Mark, if you would. Mark chapter 16. I want to just read Mark's account. Jesus rose early on the morning and he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. If you've got your Bible, read along with me. I'm reading from the New International Version. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he'd driven seven demons. She went and she told those who had been with him and who were mourning and who were weeping. Listen to the despair. They are mourning and they are weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive, verse 11, and that she had seen him, what's it say? They did not believe. And afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them. This is the man on the road to Emmaus. Appeared in a different form to two while they were walking in the country. And these returned and reported it to the rest. Verse 13, but... it's okay for us to talk. It's not just about me talking. You can connect with this. But they did not believe. And this is where Jesus comes again. Verse 14, Jesus appears to the 11 while they're eating. And he what? He rebukes them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he'd risen. And when I look at that, Jesus speaking to them, they're hiding in the upper room. Jesus comes in, speaks peace to them. They're terrified. They see the hands, his hands and his feet, and suddenly they're amazed and they're exuberant. And again, he says, peace. But what I realize in that is their circumstances had not changed. They were hiding because they were hunted, they were hated, they were the followers of Jesus, and they were terrified that if they tried to eliminate Jesus now, they were going to be eliminated. They're hiding away there, and Jesus turns up. Well, it didn't change that people were hunting them, it didn't change that people hated them. It didn't change that they were still followers, that the Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law would have to try and eliminate or at least silence so that this didn't go ahead. Their circumstances haven't changed. They aren't relocated from this musty, closed up upper room into, you know, some paradise or some palace. Their circumstances have not changed. The information has not changed. They were already told Jesus is risen from the dead. Their stubborn hearts refuse to believe it. And this is what easily happens. We get this information about Jesus. We may even have an experience of Jesus. But it's not until there is this illumination, revelation, like experience of the presence of Christ in the midst of who we are, that life force takes hold of us and transforms us. The word I had when I was preparing this message was, it was illumination, not elimination. The circumstances don't have to change. We want the bad things, the distress, the trouble, the trial. We want that eliminated. If Jesus is real, then change everything. Set me free from my doubts, my fears, my trials, my troubles, all of these places that I'm unsettled. You're not guaranteed that any of that will be eliminated, but what you are guaranteed of is Christ, when he comes into the midst of your life, brings illumination, revelation of who he is, that centers us on him and carries us through to whatever we might walk in. The unknown, the dreadful, the overwhelming situations can easily become our enemy. But the illumination of Christ in the midst of that becomes this safety, this refuge in the midst of that trial. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but fear, doubt, threat can be utterly crippling. A moment where you don't feel like you see Jesus. I've had a time in my life where I felt like I was shuttered and closed up in a room of despair, of doubt, of fear. I so desperately wanted to experience Jesus. I'd been a Christian for a long time. I'd been serving in leadership and pastoral work for a long time. But I suddenly came into a situation that was beyond my control. You know, I like to be in charge of my circumstances. I like to know what's going on. I like to have some sense of what I'm in the midst of, but in this moment, it was way outside my control, way outside my reference points. And my first response was fear. It was doubt, anxiety. And I'm generally, by nature, a very positive, adventurous kind of person. But in this situation, I ended up virtually catatonic, unable to speak to my wife, unable to be found. I was so removed in this fear, in this darkness, to the point that that I had suicidal thoughts. And I know the enemy works hard in stuff, and he's the great accuser, and he would love to bring us to such dark despair that we would act on thoughts like that. And I realize it was a battle that was bigger than anything that my information about Jesus, that my past experience of Jesus could carry me through. I needed an encounter with Christ. That was that illumination in the midst of darkness. And I was actually walking on a beach, and I still, to this day, I don't know if it physically happened. But it was literally walking under this cloudy sky, and I felt as I was walking just in this numb silence. It was like light, this shaft of light just shone around about us. And it was this word just so deep in my heart that I knew was God speaking to me. And I felt He asked me this: have I changed? Am I not the same God here as I am there? Am I not the same God today as I was before, as I will be tomorrow? The circumstances hadn't changed. I was still facing the exact same situation. I didn't have any new information. I didn't have any promise that the future was going to be better, that it was going to be brighter, that something was going to change. I didn't have anything except in that moment this illumination, this revelation of the character and the person of God that like penetrated right in that moment. And this is what that life, that resurrection life of Christ brings to us. Jesus is the fullness of that life of God, the light of God. The illumination had come. Darkness lies to us, whispers to us, worries us, threatens us, conceals things from us. But the light of Christ illuminates our circumstances, forcing that darkness back. The resurrection life of Christ is enduring. That light will never, never be overcome. I love when Jesus speaks to John right at the beginning of the book of Revelation in chapter 1. verse 17 and 18, John writes this: "When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, and he placed his hand on me and he said this, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and darkness, Hades, hell.'" He has overcome. It's a resurrection life of Christ that in the midst of the despair of two men leaving Jerusalem, leaving hope and everything behind them and going home, that Jesus meets them and he illuminates. He shares information, but he just brings this revelation of himself that causes them to just run all the way back to Jerusalem. The disciples hiding away in fear have this revelation that carries them all through Jesus' purpose for them, most of them to martyrdom. But that illumination, that revelation, gave them life that could not be quenched. Whatever our circumstances, whatever our doubts, whatever our fears, even if the circumstances remain unchanged, he is the light that shines in darkness that will never be overcome, never be extinguished, never be pushed back, never be mastered. I love Paul in his transformation. When he begins to write letters to the churches that he has established, one of these strongest words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4 and going to the end of that chapter. Paul writes this: "The God of this age, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who refuse to believe, so that they cannot see the light of the good news or the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. He is the image of God. For what we now preach, what we carry, what we share is not ourselves, but it is Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as servants for his name's sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory that's displayed in the face of Jesus." Let me say that again. God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the fullness of God's glory that was displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God. It's not from us. Listen to verse 8 and onwards. "We are hard pressed on every side. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We are struck down. We always carry about in our body the death of Jesus. We are always given over to death for Jesus' sake." And if that's all there was, then circumstance and darkness and the despair would carry on. But it's not. I love in the midst of all of those circumstances, in the midst of in the midst of persecuted, in the midst of pressed on every side, in the midst of perplexed, in the midst of struck down, in the midst of carrying the death of Christ in their bodies, Paul writes these things with confidence. "We are hard pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we in no way despair. We are persecuted, but we are not abandoned. He is with us right in the midst of it. We are struck down, but I tell you what, we are not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus, the light of Jesus, might also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. The end of that, verse 16, says, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all, that cannot be removed, that cannot be shaken, that cannot be taken away. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, not on those things that press us down, that perplex us, that trouble us, that dismay us, but on that which is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen, by faith we see the kingdom of God come. We see Christ at work in the midst of our lives. What is unseen is eternal. Today, we don't need more information. We don't need just another sermon. You don't need just another talk. You don't need just a change in circumstances. You don't need to just be, you know, bought out of what you might find yourself in the midst of. What we need is illumination. What we need is a revelation of the person of the risen Savior Jesus Christ, who has overcome the grave, who will remain victorious, who will never be shaken. And this is what transformed the disciples. They'd had years of preparation and years of teaching with Jesus that they would return to and they would bring illumination to. But what brought life to them was when Jesus stood in their midst and revealed the fullness of who he was as the life and the light of God himself. Jesus Christ, who overcame the grave, who overcame darkness, who brought life. Peace, light, life, illumination, revelation. My prayer is that Christ would rule in our hearts, illuminate our minds, and that we would know his presence with us, whatever the road ahead. And I know there are those who are struggling in all sorts of ways. And more than anything, what you need is the illumination, revelation of Christ right in the midst of what you're in. There may be those here that you've carried about the information about Jesus in your head for a long time, but you've never allowed that to become an illumination to your heart. There may be those that are waiting for God to prove himself to you by changing your circumstances. I can't guarantee that'll ever happen. But I'll tell you what will happen is when we open our hearts to Christ, that illumination comes in. And that peace invades, captures us, holds us fast. And this morning, I just want to close this time together by offering to just pray. To pray with you. To pray expectantly for that revelation and illumination of Christ. Whether it's sickness, whether it's trial, whether it's marriages, whether it's work, whether it's whatever, addictions. I can't promise you that prayer will bring immediate change to the circumstances. I don't want to give you just more information. What I want to pray is that you would have that illumination of the Spirit of God, of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, now in the midst of your life. And as we close, if you need that, I'm going to ask you just come. We prayed with a number of people after the first service, and if you want someone to pray with you, please come. God, you know us. Nothing hidden from you. No pretenses, no pretending. And God, I just ask that in this space, I pray in a simple way that thing that happened in my life, that through this space there would be shafts of light that just illuminate lives. Jesus, we want to not just know about you, want to know you. Don't want just someone else's story of you, want to experience you. Don't want someone else's instruction, want a fresh encounter with you that holds us fast, that secures us. So Jesus, as we close this time together, I just really pray that you would come now. Bring that resurrection life to bear in our lives. Thanks. If you want someone to pray with you, it's going to be for you to move to come. And the best way to do that is just to come forward. And there's a number of us here that are more than willing to just pray with you.